Good morning. The time is now 8:30. It's Monday, June 17th. I'm Alex Jensen. You're listening to This Morning. And this half hour, we're going to switch up our focus to Seoul INSA. And it gives us the chance really to chat in some detail with our two regular guests, Cedric and Elizabeth. They'll be with us. But let me ask you, are you living alone in this country, particularly if you're a woman? Do you feel unsafe? Do you feel more unsafe now than you did before? There have been some really disturbing stories in recent years, but one recently was actually the story that never was, thankfully, but it could have been so different. A 30-year-old man shown to be following a woman living alone in Sillimdong in Seoul, and CCTV footage watched him linger behind her, and she got into her apartment just in time, but he stayed outside and he seemed to be contemplating what to do next. It looked as though he wanted to, well, get into her apartment and goodness knows do what. And that's the big uncertainty that's horrified people. It's a chilling thought. £1013 for 51 per message if you'd like to join in. Please do send us any insights that you have. I've had friends tell me anecdotally some pretty shocking stories off the back of that never made the media. People trying to harass others. Men trying to get into the homes of women in exactly the same fashion as this, but going much further, like banging the door and issuing threats, and even cases of people jumping into taxis with women and making them so terrified that they couldn't even feel they could call for help from the driver. Well, this half hour is brought to you by Lotte Heimart, McDonald's and G-Market Global.
Seoul INSA.
And that means it's time to say good morning to our Seoul insiders. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Hong and Cedric Skysady. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to address the very important issue. Sometimes we are very lighthearted and upbeat, and that's fine. But that doesn't mean we can't get serious as well. Mm. And it's all the more important as a Seoul issue, I think. Although not universally. I think that some of what we'll discuss today could probably apply in any situation anywhere. And it's probably sad that some of our conclusions are going to have to be aimed at potential victims because we cannot control the actions of some really unsavory individuals out there or some individuals who are inspired by some very unsavory temptations, to put it bluntly. But we're talking about safety, basically, particularly for women living in the big city. And Cedric, I guess the big city just presents statistically so many more situations for potential abuse.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there was an actual recent incident that I think many of us have heard about, but in the event that we haven't, there was an incident on May 28th, early morning around 6:20 a.m. that involved a failed rape attempt by a man in his 30s following a woman in her 20s in Sillimdong in Gwanak-gu district, just south of the river. So many of you may have seen the CCTV footage. It went viral, absolutely viral, just a few weeks ago. And considering that clip was shared 58,000 times on Twitter. So in case you haven't seen the footage or you're not aware of the incident, a woman was seen on CCTV getting out of the elevator in her apartment and walking to a door. She puts in her key code and enters, and luckily the door closes shut right before her stalker, who was actually in the elevator with her, was able to catch it and enter into the door. And so on this footage, you see the man pacing outside of her door after she enters, and he seems to be a little frustrated. You can see him knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. You can see him take out his flashlight on his phone, trying to figure out the keypad code.
Right.
And he also, according to police, he even threatened her. So he would knock and threaten her, saying he would forcefully enter. Oh, and so this is what happened just a few weeks ago on that morning. And the thing is, when the clip went viral, the stalker was aware. He knew his face was out there. He turned himself in. And the thing is, he denied all charges, saying that he was drunk, he wasn't aware, he doesn't remember doing any of that. And so that's the situation.
It's always the excuse.
Right.
Just a quick clarification. I really have no desire to defend this individual, but we don't know 100% that it was an attempted rape. I think we can all put the pieces together in our minds and look at that footage and think whatever his intentions were not positive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you could argue perhaps that it was attempted robbery or attempted breaking an entry or whatever it was. The reason I mention this is it's difficult in a court of law to bring attempted rape charges forward.
Right.
Because thankfully he wasn't able to get that far.
Right.
You're exactly right. Thankfully. I mean, I saw this footage and I was really chilled when I saw it because it could really potentially happen to any women.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like it's important. Some women, they just, you know, I guess you don't really assume or accuse anybody, you just think they're your neighbors. And, you know, I know many times when I just walk in the door without looking back, because, you know, it automatically locks, right? As soon as it closes behind you. And now after seeing this footage, I realize I should always look at my surroundings, check to see if anybody's following me.
Yeah.
And also check to make sure I see the door close right after me, like the woman did in the footage.
You know, Elizabeth, thankfully in Seoul, I don't personally feel like this is a constant threat, although mm-hmm. clearly it is for
right.
vulnerable people out there. And sadly, just being a woman apparently makes you vulnerable, which is mm-hmm. awful. But I can certainly remember living in London and mm-hmm. even as a man feeling this way a lot.
Oh.
Walking back from work at night, for example, mm-hmm. going through certain neighborhoods mm-hmm. that were definitely not particularly pleasant to be in.
Right, right.
You would constantly have this feeling of edge, and no one should have to live like that.
Right.
And it's so sad that in a city that supposedly feels safe for so many people, mm-hmm. we still have this feeling of danger for such a big group.
Right, right. That's a very good point.
Can you just give us, it seems you're the only woman in the studio here mm-hmm. right now, Elizabeth, can you give us a sense of what daily life in Seoul's like for you? Like, how often would you feel slightly unsafe?
Well, I think for me, I do live in a very, I guess, a place where there's a lot of like restaurants, like 맛집s. So they do open late at night too, luckily for me. So, and I also live in an office tel, and so I feel a little bit safer because there's always a security guard towards the entrance,
mm-hmm.
and that also helps. But I think I don't really feel, I guess, scared per se. But what I do notice myself doing is I am kind of paranoid, I guess. So I always make sure I don't put on my earphones when I'm walking by myself late at night. Mm-hmm. Even though I see people around, you just never know who could be following you among yeah. those crowds, right? So I always put out my earphones, make sure I check my surroundings, hold on to my phone in my hand as I'm walking. And when I get in the elevator, if I notice that the person doesn't press another floor, I do feel, and again, I know I might be very maybe rude if I'm accusing this person of possibly following me, but I can't help myself. So if I notice he doesn't press another floor, I do feel a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But not that this is the most important side of it at all. But Cedric, from the other perspective, I'm sometimes overly conscious of how women might be feeling. So
right.
I don't have an elevator in my place, but I would feel very uncomfortable if, let's say, I was in an elevator on my own mm-hmm. with a woman
right.
and she pressed the floor
yeah.
that I happened to be going to. I'd almost want to say like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to the same floor.
Right, right.
But that kind of makes it worse in a way. Mm-hmm. And also walking home, sometimes I might be walking a few steps behind a woman.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, please don't turn off at my street. Because
I know, if it's the same direction.
I've actually in the past deliberately mm-hmm. not walked into my own street, but walked on a few paces and then turned around.
That's kind because, of a gentleman, though.
Yeah, but I...
but I know, but it's such a right.
I mean, I don't want to... Again, this is not the most important thing. And mm-hmm. It's just I wish we didn't have a world where these thoughts even had right. to come in one's mind. Cedric, right. You've been looking at some of the big data and looking at some of the very micro issues here. When I say micro issues, not belittling them, but rather individual issues
right.
compared with big data, which states that according to Statistics Korea last year in 2016, so it was coming out last year, but referring back to 2016, nearly 51% of women did feel unsafe. 40% of men felt that way. I'm surprised mm-hmm. at that, by the way.
That is surprising.
I don't know what exactly. I mean, how you classify and categorize safety, I suppose, maybe is the gray area there. But I cannot imagine if I did a survey of 100 men in Seoul that 40% of them would say they felt unsafe. But Cedric, the perception is different.
Absolutely. So obviously, between men and women, the perception of women's safety is going to be different. You know, women have to live with the reality that they have to take more precaution when they go out in public compared to their male counterparts. And so we thought it'd be interesting to get the insight of women and how they feel in public, and also the insight of a man who has to also, like me and you, Alex, that we're always concerned about the perception of women when it comes to us, you know, being around them, making sure they feel safe. And
well,
so
let's take a listen a second. And again, I want to put the message out there. I know there are a lot of men in this world who feel like they're unfairly dealt with and they're given a raw deal and they have to tiptoe around women. And, you know, your views are welcome as well. Anyone from any perspective can get in touch, #1013 for 51 per message. But I think it's also very important to listen carefully here and to understand, if you don't have any women close to you in your life, where they are coming from and why perhaps we do need to have a change in perception. Should we take a listen, Cedric?
Let's take a listen.
Hi, my name is Rayon, a 32-year-old female currently living in Gangnam. I moved to Gangnam 3 months ago, and many of the stores around the area close late, so I feel safe walking at night most of the time. However, the level of safety differs depending on the type of outfit I'm wearing that day or night. And to be honest, I carry around a portable electric shocker with me when I'm wearing short skirts or heels at night. I'm not well informed about such protection services, but I do know that there are safety services for women available in certain parts of Seoul. If there are escort services or female taxi driver services, for example, I would definitely use them.
Hello, I'm a single woman in my early 30s working and living in Seoul. Although I've been living by myself over a decade since my university years, I still think living alone as a single woman leaves me in a vulnerable position. For example, I'm almost afraid of walking alone at night. Also, I don't feel safe about revealing my address because it could make me a potential target of a crime. That's why I'm not a big fan of food delivery. When I do though, I put out larger size shoe for people to see or go down to pick up the food by myself. Sometimes when I get off the elevator with a male stranger, I spend a few seconds in front of other houses to wait until he enters his home first. I don't think I'm overacting. I actually had this traumatic experience of being followed by a flasher, whom we often describe as a trench coat pervert in Korea. When I realized this man was following me all the way to my building, I was so scared and literally didn't know what to do. I just yelled at him that I would call the police, then he ran away. And I still think I was fortunate at the time. If I had not noticed his presence earlier, he could have just broken into my house. That's why I strongly feel about the latest Sillimdong incident. But even after watching the news, all I can do to protect myself is trying not to walk alone at night, be watchful of any random man coming behind me so that I be prepared to report. It is somewhat frustrating because the change actually has to come from the outside world instead of me or other women being more cautious. I've heard about Anshimi app and safe walk scout called Anshim Giga Scout. I appreciate those policies in the sense that they try to empathize with the insecurity that women feel in general. Having these services available is definitely better than having nothing. So far, I haven't used Anshimi app yet. In order to get used to it, I think users, including myself, need to do some practice in advance so that we can take advantage of it in an emergency. I really appreciate Safe Walk Scouts, but I cannot depend on them every night. Also, they are women as well. I'm worried about their safety. What if they encounter danger on their way home?
I think that Seoul and Korea is very safe for everyone, and that also applies for the women. But I do think the media has like the tendency to hype up like that kind of like crimes. I do have, get like the feeling when I talk to Korean girls that they're more like concerned or scared of like their own safety than I think like they actually need to be. It is like a scary possible like scenario for them. So of course like they need to be alert of like the signs. But in the end though, I think like 90% of the guys aren't going to hurt them. So it becomes kind of like a balancing kind of thing that I guess like you just get from like life experience, reading people, reading situations. I do understand it, but I don't necessarily think it's completely right that you kind of like treat innocent men that have never done anything as like potential criminals, as like a principle. In the elevator, in the building that I live in, I try to show a little bit more care to women when we get off at the same floor. I would kind of sometimes pretend to be on the phone and just like some important message came in or something like that, so I need to stop up. So she can like leave to her apartment first and like go inside like before I go inside like that hallway. So she doesn't have to like feel stressed or feel concerned if she does or feel scared if that's what it is. So kind of small stuff like that. I don't know if that's actually like the right thing to do. But I do generally feel like if you have like a girl that gets off at the same floor as you and you just walk like in the same direction, it's awkward. It feels, I don't know, it feels wrong like in some kind of way. So it's better if you just wait and let them go in first.
So the gentleman at the end there, what he was saying touched on what we were saying before, Cedric and Elizabeth, about right. what men might be able to do to help women feel more comfortable. I don't want to criticize him because I feel very... sort of, I guess, generally grateful that he took the time to contribute to our show. But I want to be careful, therefore, in saying that I think he has to be very careful and all men have to be very careful in the way they may be in danger of just telling women how they should feel. Mm. I don't think the statistic he said was necessarily true, but if what he said was true, if he believes that, that 90% of men are fine, well, that leaves potentially thousands upon thousands of dangerous men on the streets of Seoul.
Right.
And if a man was told that there are thousands of men out there who might want to physically harm you, I don't think men would be feeling all that comfortable just casually wandering around.
Right.
And again, coming back to the London experience, I had several times people either ask me for my money or physically threaten me or chase me or whatever it happened to be. And that only needs to happen a handful of times for you to feel nervous every time you go out.
Right. Oh, it's tough. But I think just one thing that I do want to add here from a woman's perspective is it's funny how he mentions he does that in the elevator, because for me, vice versa, because I feel bad at, you know, maybe possibly hinting that I feel scared, I actually do the same thing where I stop and pretend I'm looking at my phone so that I could have him go ahead of me. And then I would go after. So something like that, I guess maybe on both ends we can kind of work on so that we're not really being rude.
I think the phone solution is quite nice in a way. You can kind of show the person who's in the elevator with you, I'm just a regular guy or whatever. And it's an alternative to starting some awkward conversation, which could make things worse, especially if there's a language barrier. 0249's texted in saying, I'm in my 30s and I've also been living alone in different parts of Seoul since I entered university. I heard my friends tell me how scared they are about living alone, but I myself became desensitized to these crimes, thinking I was being cautious enough. But the Shilimdong CCTV incident was definitely a wake-up call, and now I try to be more alert in more vulnerable situations, like walking in an empty street alone at night, which, you know, it's horrible to have to tell victims they have to be more careful. But again, I presume we're not talking about rational minds when people are going to the lengths of stalking someone.
You have to be cautious, though, right? At all times. And so I think what's good to know, though, is that Seoul City is providing some protection services that we should all be aware of. This can definitely help out with these kind of situations. And one is, as one of our the interviews mentioned, is the Seoulsi Anshimi app. It's an app, safety app, that you can download and use when you're walking home late at night. And how it works is if you download it, you just register with a nickname and a phone number. It's a very easy registration process. And if you feel like safety is a concern, all you have to do is turn on the app, press safety monitoring, that's 안심 귀가 monitoring, and the respective district control center will receive real-time location information and send a text message to you that the safety service is activated. And once you're safely home, the app will automatically turn off. But let's say that you do have an emergency situation, all you have to do is there's an emergency call button in the center that you press, 긴급 신고 button. Or if, you know, obviously if you're not able to press the button, if you're just shaking your phone several times, then it will send an emergency alert message to the control center and they will immediately check the nearest CCTV to monitor the situation and actually send a police officer that's stationed at the control center for help. So this is something that's really good to know. And did you guys hear about the women's safe escort services?
Well, yes, and we heard a little bit. We heard it referenced in the clip we heard before.
Exactly. So there are currently 452 scouts that the city of Seoul has who are providing escort services. But there is a hours of operation from Monday, or on Mondays, I should say, that's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Tuesdays to Fridays, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. All you have to do is call Dasan Call Center, 120, 30 minutes prior to your arrival in the nearest subway or bus station that you get off. And there will be a scout, they call them, wearing a yellow uniform and a cap, and they will be escorting you to your house. So this is really good to know, I think, for a lot of women. They actually started this 2013, but I wasn't aware. So I think for me, I'm definitely something, an option that I would take when I'm feeling nervous.
Right? So many times when I go to work early in the morning, I go down to the subway and it's still before 6 a.m. and there's people from the night before. And honestly, there are little alleyways around the Itaewon area.
Right.
And I see a lot of drunk girls on their own in very vulnerable situations.
That's true.
And
good
it's
point.
Pretty disgraceful. Not disgraceful, the fact they got drunk. A lot of people get drunk. But the fact that they're just left alone. I mean, where are the friends that were with them at the start of the night? How did they end up in a situation where they're drunk and just lying in the street? Presumably, they didn't all start out the evening on their own, is what I'm trying to say. Also, Cedric, in terms of alcohol as an excuse, legally, it should never be an excuse. I think that's changing here, but there was a time in Korea where people would actually get away with bad behavior on the basis of being drunk, or at least their punishment would be lessened.
Right. I think it should be the opposite. If anything, that will eventually encourage people to drink responsibly. Because if we can just get off the hook and just use alcohol as an excuse, then anything can fly.
Our older daughter was in Itaewon. Man actually basically molested her. I'm using that word quite strongly, but it was a short-lived grope, I suppose you might say. But it was caught on CCTV. The police got involved. And he, again, his defense was he was drunk, didn't remember it. And it was this excuse is over and over again abused. It just can't be an excuse anymore.
I agree. That cannot be an excuse at any time when it comes to these kind of situations.
And if you're, if you're prepared to do things like that when you're drunk, you should be terrified as an individual.
Right. I mean, it's hard because, you know, how can we set limitations when people just want to have fun and just, you know, have a drink at night? But at the same time, I do want to say, let's be smart maybe when we drink also for women and men alike, right? Let's try to be wise in how we, I guess, handle when we get drunk, right?
Cedric, absolutely. A final word from you?
I just want to say to all the male listeners, just to make sure you take your precautions, but also make sure you make the women around you feel safe as possible.
Yeah. And at the risk of an awkward conversation, let's look out for each other.
Right.
Thank you, guys. Good to have you here with our latest Seoul Insight segment. Cedric Skysady to my left. Elizabeth Hong to my right today.
Over here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. We'll hand over to our news team next. We've got Yerika Park in Inside Korea coming up next.